Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you. I hope you all had a great Christmas this last weekend, and that you got to experience the joy of relationship and your friends and your family, and most of all, the celebration of our Lord and Savior and His birth. And so I want to start off differently this morning. I want to start off with a little post-Christmas humor, and it's called The Month After Christmas. And it goes like this. It says, "'Twas the month after Christmas, and all through the house, nothing would fit me, not even a blouse. The cookies I nibbled, the fudge I did taste, all the holiday parties had gone to my waste. When I got on the scales, there arose such a number. When I walked to the store, less a walk than a lumber. I remembered the marvelous meals I prepared, the gravies and sauces, and beef nicely rare. The pies and the cakes, the bread and the cheese, and the way I never said, no thank you, please. As I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt and prepared once again to do battle with dirt, I said to myself, as I only can, you can't spend the winter disguised as a man. So away with the last of the sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip. Every last bit of food that I like must be banished till all of the additional ounces have vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I'll want to only chew on a long celery stick. I won't have hot biscuits or cornbread or pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. I'm hungry and lonesome and life is a bore, but isn't that what January is for? Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet." So isn't that interesting? I mean, most of us pretty much look back and think, oh, we either put on a few pounds since Thanksgiving, or we overindulged in some way, or maybe that's just what we do all year long. But those type of things are also what lead us to usually create New Year's resolutions, right? We look back on our year or on our holiday and we say we're going to do something different. And when I was thinking about the time we're in, Christmas just ended, and we're coming into our New Year's resolutions, I looked up what some of the popular resolutions are. And for 2015, they say that this year, fitness and exercise will be the number one resolution. The next one will be losing weight. Some people want to quit smoking, quit drinking. Others want to save money, make more money. Others want to eat healthier, get more organized, or for me, have less stress. It seems like that's a good one. And spend more time with family and friends. And I think resolutions are great, especially if they're going to bring health and balance, not just to us, but to the people around us. But when I was reading all this, I discovered that only 45% of Americans actually make resolutions. And out of that 45%, studies show that 8% only make it to the end of the year. 8%'s not the highest number. But it makes sense to me. I mean, think about what you are declaring. A resolution is a declaration of, I'm going to do something huge, usually. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to buy a house. We're going to totally revamp how we, you know, spend money. They're huge things. And they cause us to change our habits, you know, usually put away the things we love, the things that become easy to us, and so we give up. They cause a lot of stress, they're difficult, and they can be painful, and most of us are wired to avoid pain. So no wonder we give up on them, right? Now, some people in here might have looked for or hoped for or did receive a Christmas gift that would help you reach your resolutions through technology. I am amazed at how many things you can wear on your body to actually make sure you are moving, that you are losing weight, that your heart is beating, and all those other things, right? There's also devices that help you, like, manage your money. Technology's really changed the way we give gifts and what we're looking for today. And I think about gifts. I mean, most of us, when we were young, weren't gifts simple? I mean, my daughter, we would buy her all these cool things, and honestly, it was a waste of time because all she liked was the box. So forget what came in it. She'd wrap herself in the wrapping paper and then just get in the box. And so it was a lot more simple back then. But then as we grow older, it seems like our gifts become more practical and they become more expensive. So, but then there's the homemade, like the handcrafted gift. Seems like we cherish those the most, right? Because someone took time to make us something very personal. And today I brought one of those. This is a pillowcase that my best friend, who I say is my sister, made for my daughter. And she made all of us one of these. And on the top has what our family loves to play, which is Scrabble. Thank you. And that is, we all love it. So my husband and I also have ones. But ours on the bottom have golf balls and golf tees because we love to golf. But my daughter at the time, when she made this, loved all the different colored tennis shoes that you could have in life at that time. And we treasure this because we know, one, she knows us. And that's how connected we are relationship-wise. We also know that she took time to try and make something that we would take on and we would keep. My daughter can take that to college when she goes to college. It's just an awesome gift, and we treasure those gifts. But what I want to talk today about is the gift that God gave us and how to continue living in the Christmas spirit. You'll know if you come here on a regular basis, this last month we went through a series called Follow the Star, and how when you live in the light of Christmas, it changes our lives, right? We discovered that the light brings hope and peace. We learned that it brings joy and love, and that that is a love that changes who we are, a love that we will find nowhere else. And starting next week, we're going to enter into a series called Children of God, where we learn to walk in the light as children of God. And Pastor Ron is creating a series, and you know, both series, so that we can continue to learn about the light, but also to point out the significance, right? Some of us don't have any idea what we're talking about with light. If you don't know him, you don't realize that when you find Jesus, when you accept him, when you get this gift, that there is a light that lights up our lives and flows through us. Those of us who follow him, these series, they constantly remind us how we need to be in the light and continually emitting the light and being a part of the light. And I loved how he had a flashlight on Christmas Eve, if you were here, and he was, you know, pointing it around saying that it lights our path. Light is so significant. Most of us feel more safe when things are lit up. I don't know too many people who are super excited walking down a pitch black alley, right? Or even like trying to get, like Pastor Ron said, trying to get to the bathroom without killing yourself without light, right? We're looking for light. I like to talk to Pastor Dave. I talk to him on a pretty regular basis. And he told me a story of his son who created an app called Ready, Set, Go. And this app is designed for you to put in your problem or the task that you're trying to accomplish. And you put it in this program and it asks you two questions. It says, do you want clarity or do you want to take an action? And he was telling me that most of the time, matter of fact, almost all of the time, he chooses, I want to take an action. And aren't we all like that? If we're going to have a problem or a goal, we want to know how many steps it takes to get there so we can get through it and check it off our list. And he said the majority of people were like this. But he said the time that he pushed, do you want clarity, and he chose clarity, it was amazing. Because all of a sudden, there was a light over the whole issue. He could see everything and why the tasks were happening and why he needed to take the steps he was taking. And when that happens, what does that do to us? Don't we, if we can see the end result, feel more motivated? When we just do task after task after task, we're not always sure that we're actually even going in the right direction. So clarity in bringing light to a situation is super important. So what I want to look at today is how do we continue to live in the Christmas spirit and in the light and the gift that our Father gave us, which is our Lord and Savior. We're going to look at Luke 2, 17 through 20. And it reads like this, and you can follow along on the screens or if you have your Bibles. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, now before this, an angel appears to the shepherds, right? And they say in verses 11 and 12 of the same chapter, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger. Now, when the angel came to the shepherds, that wasn't a usual thing. They were scared. And the angel told them not to be scared. And they were just going through their normal day, right? I mean, they went to work like they went to work any other day, not expecting that. And what happened was, is they're given this message, and didn't they have two choices? Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, the reason why I ask if they had a choice is we kind of think that they become robots. You know, they tell you this message, and then they just turn and they go, right? But they had a choice. They could have chalked it up to bad lunch, right? Something weird. But the thing that I love about it is they chose to go, and I think part of the reason is the angels personalized it, didn't they? They said, a Savior has been born unto you. They said that this will be a sign to you. When we're given direction or we're told that something's going to be given to us, we're usually motivated to go find it. So I think they went, One, that's God's intention. And two, but there is a huge motivation there. But the story doesn't stop when they actually reach there and they find the baby. What happens after that, I think, is a huge example of how we should be and how we should continue to live in the Christmas spirit and continue to talk about the gift that we were given. And so what we're going to do is look at what the shepherds did and what happened after the baby was born. So if you're following along, the first point we're going to look at to continue living in the Christmas spirit is we keep talking about the gift. In verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. See, they were sharing their experience, right? They went, they were told a message that this is what they would find, and they went out and they saw it with their own eyes. They personally experienced it. So they were giving their testimony. And think about it. What is so powerful about testimonies? It's firsthand knowledge, right? It's not hearsay or someone else's story. And why is that important? What happens when we listen to people give their testimony? Don't they get so excited, they're so impacted by the Lord that they use their hands? It's their body language, there's so much emotion. Sometimes they're so, how do I find the right word to make sure I'm impacting you with what God did for me? See, second and third hand knowledge doesn't really have that same thing. We're missing the emotion. So these guys, when they found out that what the angel said to them was true, they could not wait to go and talk about it. They continued talking about the gift, and that's what we should do. Our testimonies and our encounters and our experiences with the Lord are extremely powerful. No one else can transform us like encountering the Lord, right? By receiving his salvation. Nothing else transforms us like that. So that's why we need to keep talking about it, but we also need to keep talking about it because we're acknowledging God's promise. He kept his word to us, right? In Isaiah 9:6, it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And before that, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, a virgin will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, so God is with us every moment of every day. He gave us a promise. He never goes back on his word. We talk about how what God does in our lives and how he fulfills everything he said he was going to do for us. Everything, even past this moment here. And the other thing by talking about it is that we're continuously spreading the good news, right? We're the messengers of we have a Savior. In verse 18 it says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It was impacting others, right? Isn't that what we're called to do? To spread the word? To spread the message? The second thing we look at as far as continuing to live on the Christmas spirit is we treasure the gift given to us. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered is the word that's used here. Celebrate is another word you can use for it. And I found that throughout the Bible, the word pondered is used. But in Psalm 107:43, it says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Psalm 111:2 says, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. So we see that the things that God does, the things that we see, we recognize, we take in, and we cherish it. Mary had a different example, or a different reaction. See, the shepherds, they were going out and talking to everybody. And yet she was sitting quietly. She was taking it all in. She was weighing what was going on. I mean, didn't she have a ton of extraordinary experiences? She knew she gave the birth to the Son of God. I don't think she knew what that meant at the time or what that was going to happen. Elizabeth, her cousin, is also visited by the angel. And then on top of that, these shepherds, they're coming out and saying, this is what we were told. An angel came to us. That's why we're here. And now they're talking about their experience, and she's just taking it all in. She's quiet. See, as moms, I think we do take in everything about our children. From the moment we give birth and you're holding this responsibility and this amazing, I mean, it's amazing that we can even give birth to a living creature, right? To a person. And we take it in. When people encounter our children, how they react to them. How they, you know, the comments that they make. Oh, they're going to be left-handed. They're going to be right-handed. They're going to read. How come your kid doesn't crawl? You know, stuff like that. That's what I heard. So, you know, all those things, we take it all in and we start trying to piece it together about who they're going to be. I think Mary wondered, I've given birth to the Son of God. Who is he going to be? What's going to happen to him? Moms do that. See, when we treasure something, it is deemed valuable and it can become the focus of our thoughts and our efforts. It shapes our lives and our choices. In Matthew 6:21, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So see, when we ponder, yes, we swirl around in our heads, we think about it, we dwell on it. But what I love about this scripture is it says, where she pondered them was in her heart. Now, why is that important? What happens when things stay in our heads? We swirl it around, we think about it. It can become an anxious thing. It can become rules or legalistic. It becomes orthodox. But what happens when it moves to our hearts? It becomes salvation, right? It impacts us. Everything starts to line up. We start to fill with this light and with this gift, and it doesn't stick in our head. It fills our hearts with and shapes everything that we are. Our heart is the center of our spiritual and our physical being. We overflow with what he gave us. So to treasure and to ponder is super important. So to live in the light of Christmas, we talk about the gift, we treasure the gift, and in number three, we continue to celebrate the gift. It says in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So glorifying and praising. Another word for that is to celebrate. And it says that we are celebrating not just the birth of Christ, but what else are we celebrating? Well, aren't we celebrating the fact that we can be saved? That we can be reborn and have new life and eternal life? We have a lot to celebrate. We were given a Savior, a Lord. And so we have someone to magnify and raise up. Magnify is another word we can use. What happens when you magnify something? It becomes greater than us, right? He is the greatest. This morning when we were worshiping, weren't we saying, you are great. You are more than we are. We are small. You created us. And this magnification creates a passion in who we are. Have you ever met a passionate person for the Lord? That's all they talk about. Passionate for anything. Bill Hybels talks about passion in the book Holy Discontent, and it says, when a person is gripped by a powerful passion, he or she literally enters into a completely different state of mind. In fact, they shift mental gears altogether and begin operating on an entirely new level. When we encounter the Lord, don't we operate on an entirely new level? I don't think a level we didn't even know existed. So when we become passionate, we become magnifying of who he is. It changes who we are. Passionate people, I love listening to them. You know, if you spend too much time with them, they're like, man, do you know anything else to talk about? But all they do is think about it, right? They dwell on it. They're constantly researching it, trying to figure out how to fix or be a part of whatever it is they're passionate about. People who run for clean water, they're passionate about it. I was talking to a lady. I went into her office just about a month ago, and I'm talking to her, and I look over, and there's all these sleeping bags. And I'm thinking to myself, what are all those for? And I said, what are those for? And she said, don't you know we don't have a warming shelter? We don't have a place for the homeless here in the five cities that they can go when it's cold. She was passionate, and when the way she was talking to me, she was just intense that we needed more sleeping bags. I almost ran out and got more. I mean, she was so moved and motivated and passionate. That's what the Lord's put on her heart. So when we start to celebrate, we start to glorify, God becomes magnified and he overflows and he becomes bigger than us, but he overflows out of who we are. Now it also says that they were praising him. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. See, the shepherds were full of praise because they got to witness what they were told. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We have a lot to celebrate, don't we? Don't we have a lot to talk about? and a lot to treasure. I don't know about you, but I think about the fact that there is a lot that's going on all the time. And I know I'm missing most of it. I'm human. But when we sit and partner with people and we pray and we talk and we listen to others, he's always on the move. A lot of you know I'm a therapist. I spend time talking to people day in and day out. I love every moment of it. But I am not doing anything great, really, other than trying to be used by God. But he is with people every moment, every second of every day. And he is always doing something, changing and healing and bringing hope. He's our creator. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we all are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." See, we were specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Our purpose is to live a life that magnifies the Lord, to use our gifts and talents in helping others, and to tell those who don't know about the good news. Our purpose is to bring glory to God so in the end we can hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." See, I want you to know that God's gift of his son is useful. It brings light. It brings life. It brings a meaning and a value and a purpose that you'll never understand anywhere else or you'll ever have anywhere else unless you know him. This is a gift, too, that never expires. It never loses its value. It's never going away. And I say that because when I was researching the resolutions, a lot of things about gifts came up. And so I found this statistic about the biggest thing that's purchased over Christmas, which I had no idea, is gift cards. And that over $100 billion is spent annually on gift cards. Billion with a B. And $41 billion in gift cards between 2005 and 2011 went unredeemed. The statistics said that us Americans have probably $300 worth of gift cards in our homes. I searched. I do not have that, actually. But the average household has $300 worth of unused gift cards. They get thrown away. They get lost. We spend a little portion of them and then forget about it. Or they get stuck in drawers. See, God's gift needs to be redeemed, right? Not stuck in a drawer. But in order for us to actually receive the gift, we have to open it. We have to redeem it. We have to use it. We have to receive it, right? I know the trees are being taken down. I know the decorations are coming off. I know they are in my house. I know that the manger gets stored up and put away for the next year. But what we received 2 days ago that we celebrated, most of you received it before 2 days ago, but what we received does not get stored away. The shepherds are a living example of when we receive Christ, we are to continue to talking and treasuring and pondering and celebrating. See, if you're making a resolution this year, that's great. There is nothing wrong with that. But I don't know if you noticed on the list, relationship with God was not a resolution. Faith was not on the list. I looked at the top 25, not on the list. Everything had to do with health and money and relationships with family members. But I challenge you to invite him into your resolutions. He's the light. He'll bring clarity. It's not just a task to be checked off. If you want to bring health and health wholeness to your family, wellness, you want to have a better year in 2016, maybe we should declare that we're going to become better disciples. We're going to grow our relationship with him. We're going to become more intimate with who he is. We become more useful for God. That can't do anything but bring goodness and health and healing to ourselves, right? The more you rub shoulders with him, the better you're going to be. So what we're going to do right now is Travis and the worship team are going to come back up. And what I want to do as we end is actually put this last one into practice. I know we just worshiped, but don't we want to magnify God today? I want us to leave here. I want you to hopefully take something away from the message, but I want you to take away him. I want him to be the reason why we are here today, to magnify him. Travis will dismiss us after this song, but I do want to let you know this. If you don't know him and you've never received the gift, then come down after the worship and someone will pray with you. We have a prayer team, a ministry team that will pray with you. I'll be down here. If you already know him, but you just need to become more intimate or you want more solid foundation with our Lord, then come down for prayer. Because if we bind together and lift each other up, that is the best start ever. All right? So let's worship Him.